Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this, the October 4th, 2009 edition of the program, you'll hear about Magic Fail and how it relates to Derren Brown, the World Magic Awards and how they relate to Barry and Stewart, venture capitalism and how it relates to Todd Robbins, and finally, stay tuned to the end of this very, very fun podcast to hear why gaps in the memory are the reason why sleight-of-hand artists like yourselves make a living. Here to help me with all of this is, I'd consider him a friend and a fantastic young talent in this industry. He is the author of A Clockwork Apple, Chris Mayhew. Welcome back to the Magic Week in Review.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure. I tell you what, we definitely hung out a little bit at Magic Live, and it was a good time.
It definitely was. It was awesome.
Well, what would you say you... convention. Yeah. What would you say you got the most out of Magic Live?
Just meeting people. I'd say I met a crap load of people and made some new friends and whatnot. But yeah, I'd say that's the big thing, is just meeting people. That's pretty much why I go to conventions, just to, well, the magic, of course, but to see people that I haven't seen for a while and to meet new people and whatnot.
Absolutely. That's always my favorite.
Plus, it's Vegas.
Vegas.
And it was hot.
And were you with the whole Vanishing Ink crew that just stayed like an extra week? Or did you head back?
I don't know. It didn't really happen like that. I believe Andy got engaged to his girlfriend.
Yeah, there we go. Getting it done, Mr.
Yeah,
Gladwell.
But we kind of did our own thing after. Like, we all stayed in the Luxor after Luke Dancy, but I didn't really see much of them. I just kind of did my own thing with Tony Chang and Spencer Peterson. Tony was like at the poker tables most of the time. Spencer and I went and saw Copperfield and hung out with Chris Kenner and whatnot, but I didn't really see much of the Vanishing gang, I guess you could say, after.
All I know is that you guys were moving as a unit. You guys were like the A team of Magic through Magic Live. You were just, you know, rocking and rolling. All right,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, we did some good filming while we were down there.
Well. Yeah. It sounded, everybody was getting worked on. It was a really, really cool experience.
Yeah,
well,
so
folks,
expect to see some good stuff from Robert Moreland and people, Rune Clan and whatnot.
Oh, definitely. This episode of the Magic Week in Review is, like pretty much every other episode of the Magic Week in Review, brought to you by TrickShotMagic.com. Oh, folks, you've heard me talk about Trickshot Magic oh so many times, and why stop now? Because it is your brick-and-mortar magic shop experience on the internet. And now, how? You know, we always say that, and I'm sure it's just something that can be empty words, but Sam Blankenship and the team over there, they know what it's like to bring the extra care and precision to your magic shopping experience, because they run a brick and mortar shop. There is a Trick Shop Magic there in Old City, Temecula, California. So I want you to head on over there, all right? And not only that, but follow their Twitter, twitter.com/trickshopmagic, will get you all the latest updates on what's coming out and special contests. Yes, folks. Free magic can be had simply by following at Trickshot Magic on Twitter and visiting trickshotmagic.com, because Sam Blankenship is incredible. All right, our first story of the week. In the stirring finale of his smash hit series, The Event, Derren Brown promised to win a viewer over £175,000 by besting a roulette wheel. He was going to bet $5,000, or £5,000, not the piddling insignificant currency that is the dollar, £5,000 of the viewer's own dough on one number. With a combination of showmanship, misdirection, and awesomeness, Brown was going to bring this one home, which should be a slam dunk, of course. Come on. This is the guy who just predicted the freaking lottery, after all. But as the final seconds ticked away, Brown's last words on his series were an apology to the quote-unquote lucky viewer who was watching from a remote truck. There was no joy in Mudville. Mighty Darren was one number off. Quickly, the internet's fail meme picked up on the ending, and now plenty of clips litter YouTube commenting or outright mocking the UK illusionist. Of course, this is not the first time that a magician has, even in recent years, failed publicly. And what we can, I'm just going to go ahead out there and say, intentionally failed to maybe bolster their credibility. Of course, David Blaine could not break the breath-holding world record in his Drowned Alive special. In the Mind Freak season 4, Chris Angel was consumed in a fiery car wreck in the final seconds. So, Chris, my question to you is, number one, does failing on a massive stage lend a magician like Darren Brown or David Blaine or Chris Angel more credibility?
I guess it kind of depends. Darren Brown's case, I'd say, I guess it sort of works. Like, he's still kind of, it's still pretty impressive. He was off by one, so he kind of pulled the whole Kenton Nepper type thing with his, mental wallet trick that he does, which is a great trick. The mind is a colossal killer, I believe it's called. So yeah, like the whole off by one thing, it can be impressive in itself. I'm sure the UK guy that gave him his money wasn't very happy. I would have actually liked to see his reaction.
You do. It's on the internet. Oh yeah, no, you see the guy just kind of staring blankly at the screen, and the last words on the series.
Oh, is that the guy?
Yeah. The last words on the series are a production assistant or somebody with the thing who's leaning in. He's like, "All right, there, chap. Don't worry, we'll get you $5,000 back."
Okay, so he's just like,
Jim Giroux, buck up there. Come on. Hey, no sour looks.
Yeah, in Darren Brown's case, I think it kind of brings him, makes him seem a little more mortal, I guess you could say, because everything he's been doing just makes him seem like just godly almost.
And here's the one thing where I think it works for Darren Brown in the same way that, and I don't know whether David Blaine purposely didn't break that first world record.
Yeah.
Because he certainly did it with relative ease when he did it on Oprah and actually broke the record. But
yeah.
Just hypothesize for a second that he did. It all of a sudden, in the thing of, the career arc of David Blaine, made him a legitimate kind of stuntman. Right? Like, to the point that when he did his hanging upside down thing, people were upset that he wasn't pushing himself far enough.
Yeah, that upside down thing was weird.
it was a little weird. Maybe in hindsight it could have been handled better. But the way people looked at him were that, okay, he's going to try these things, and he's going to push his body to a limit, and sometimes he's going to fall short of it. With Darren Brown's, like, people were getting upset because he would say, "Hey, maybe I'm doing this with magic, maybe I'm not." And then people will be upset when he's like, "I'm going to show you how to win the lottery." And he didn't actually show people how to win the lottery because he's a magician. He didn't really win the lottery.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. It's funny because I was like just getting into magic around like the time David Blaine was like really huge. I think he was just had his second magic special, the Street Magic special out and whatever.
Yeah.
And then when he started doing those stunts and whatnot, I actually thought that he wasn't human or something. I was like, this guy is just insane. And then when he, I believe he didn't complete the Frozen in Time thing either,
did
he?
He did. I believe so.
Oh, okay. I thought he ended a bit earlier. Yeah, to see him, like, not pull off one of his stunts, it kind of brought him down to a more human level, I guess you could say. And I actually think the reason why he didn't pull off the holding the breath thing was because he was doing an escape at the same time. Because if you look at the Oprah one, well, he has, like, Pure Oxygen in the Oprah one, but he has all his concentration on holding his breath, where when he was doing this the one in the bubble or whatever, he had to escape from chains first and whatnot.
He had also been in the water for the last 7 days. So, yeah.
That's got to be... I wonder what that feels like. Your hands must... I wonder if you have feeling in your hands or...
Well, have you ever seen those pictures, man? Of, like, his hands? Like, it's basically the skin just falling off his hands?
Oh, they showed, like, a little bit, like, on the special.
Oh, brutal.
Hands are, like, all white. I was like... Jeez.
The other thing I think really is working for DB, and by DB I mean Darren Brown in this particular story, but is that now his narrative as a character in everybody's mind has a bit of an arc. Now he's failed.
Yeah.
So now the next special, he's out to prove something. Why? Because his credibility's on the line. Oh my God! Imagine if he fails twice. Then, where will his career be? He'll be absolutely out on the streets. He'll be a busboy at some dinner theater in Leeds if he does not succeed in this next trick, man. That is great. That is just a great hype tool. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. I think it definitely worked in his favor for the fail thing. Just because... You know, people are going to be watching to see if he failed now. And when he doesn't, people are going to be even more impressed, I think.
All right.
So, yeah.
We are happy to report that straight from the horses' mouths, we were informed that Barry and Stewart will be making their American television debut on the World Magic Awards, airing this Thanksgiving. Boy, what a build they'll be part of. Ed Alonso, Marco Tempest, Lance Burton, and Greg Fruin are among the star-studded lineup. You know, we love Barry and Stewart. We have... a almost unreasonable man crush on the tandem that is Barry and Stewart. So there is a element of our minds that we're excited, obviously, everybody here at iTrix, about them being on American television. But at the same time, this is Thanksgiving, family-friendly kind of show. You got to be a little worried that maybe an act that pushes the limits like they can with fantastic results, maybe won't. Maybe they'll tone it down a little bit. Let me ask you this, Chris Mayhew. Is that a problem for a edgy act like Barry and Stewart?
I don't know. It depends on the way they go about it. Like, you can still have that edgy feel to the routine without going too overboard. So as long as they don't water down their routines to... where it's just total kid friendly, I think they should be okay. It'd be funny if they didn't water it down at all, and then all these people watch the show and they do something outrageous.
That's what I want to see. I want to see something just gory and bloody and ridiculous and weird, and then
my parents would just be freaking out and get emails. I think that'd be pretty funny.
And then I want someone to come out and do the linking rings. Like, I want this, the cover, the stage to just be literally drenched in blood, and they got one of those big, like, oversized squeegee things that they use in gyms, and they just, you know, they're just trying to get it off the stage as quick as possible, and then someone comes out and plays a song that came out 30 years ago and does the linking rings. That's what I want to see.
For sure. But another thing, even if they do tone it down a bit, I'd still say that people would still get insulted. Like, people get insulted really easily. Like, have you seen Neil Patrick Harris on Ellen DeGeneres' show?
I did. Where he allegedly killed himself?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was a guillotine thing, no blood or anything, and yet she got, like, tons of emails and letters saying that, like, their kids were watching that and stuff. It's like, come on, that wasn't bad. That was... Nothing.
Well,
that.
Yeah, apparently it was the fact that he didn't come back out. Like, you know,
and maybe.
It was like, oh, we murdered Neil Patrick Harris. Anyway, Drew Barrymore's coming up next. She has a new movie out called Whip It. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Barrymore. It's like, if they finish the show, someone's not dead. If someone dies on a television show, that's normally the finale for the television show, right? At least for that episode.
Yeah, they're not gonna die.
Okay? That's the big ender. You don't go on after death. You don't follow death. You're right. You're right. And this is maybe a little bit like that because it is, obviously, it's Thanksgiving. It is the time when families get together, and maybe they're hoping that there's some families that don't like football and they just want something on TV because they're awkward with each other and they don't have good communication skills. So Yeah, turn on the World Magic Awards and see Barry and Stewart. And I hope that it's crazy. And I'll understand if it's not, but I'll just be a little disappointed.
Yeah. But even if it's not, I'm still sure that someone will be insulted out there in some way, shape, or form.
I hope so.
There always is. There always is.
I can only hope. Magician and sideshow legend Todd Robbins made an appearance on the ABC program Shark Tank this week, pitching a Times Square entertainment destination featuring variety acts, magic, and, well, of course, sideshow entertainment. He was joined by the incomparable Throdini. Shark Tank features a panel of entrepreneurs and venture capitalists who only invest in the ideas presented with their own money. They also bicker amusingly. Now, the Funhouse is what it was called, the big entertainment destination. And it wasn't picked up by the people in the Shark Tank. And apparently, Todd Robbins was on the Magic Cafe this week saying that it was all just kind of a clever ruse, and he was paid by the producers to come on and pitch this idea that he really had no interest in continuing. However, would you, Chris Mayhew, either visit or seek employment at a venue like this? Let's just say, for argument's sake, Times Square, variety acts, magic, and sideshow entertainment. Obviously, you fed at least one of those categories. Is it something you'd want to visit or maybe work at?
Well, if it was in Times Square, I just want to visit New York in general.
Well, imagine you could live there. This could be your ticket to living in the windswept, modest hamlet of Manhattan.
Yes. I want to just visit New York in general. It's one of the places on my list to visit. If that was there, I would definitely go check it out, just because it'd be something to see. But as for actually working it, I probably wouldn't want to, just because it's not my kind of cup of tea, I guess you could say.
What about it isn't your cup of tea?
I don't know.
Because right now it's fictitious. It can be anything you want.
Yeah.
You can make it as much of your cup of tea as possible.
As much as my cup of tea as possible. I don't know. Maybe if I could come up with some kind of good idea. Because right now I just do like card tricks, and I don't think that'd be the greatest thing for a big spectacle like that.
You'd be walking around. People are sitting there eating their elephant ears and hot dogs and popcorn, their kettle corn there, and you just come up and do a little card trick. Say, hello, my name is Chris. Would you like to see a card trick?
And then they go, no, I'd want to eat my food. No, that'd be okay. I don't know. I guess if it did come to that, even if it was a way for me to live in New York, I'd do that. But really, I'd prefer going just working at a restaurant or something over that, just because restaurant would probably be a little more tame, where that'd probably be hectic, people walking around, eating their food and whatnot, trying to look at everything possible.
That's the way to roll, though. You got to go hectic. Come on. I say buck up. I think you should work at this completely fictitious entity. I think that's the
really?
Goal.
Maybe I can I'll run around and, start fights with people randomly. That could be my routine. Random fighting with people.
That's it. Start something. You just go walk out to people and say, "Hey, you trying to start something? Would you like to see a card?"
Like, "Hey, you can finish that elephant here?" Be like, "Yeah," and then I grab it and eat it anyways. I always wanted to.
Chris Mayhew, the a-hole magician. I think you actually got. Yes. I think you have a gimmick now. I think this is how you need to work it because you're such a soft-spoken guy.
It's one of the things I've been. My very first job I ever had was working at a corn dog stand, and I never did it, but I really wanted to give someone a corn dog and be like, "Here you go, sir. Oh, they're really good." And then take a bite and be like, "Oh yeah, that's delicious. I think you'll really enjoy that, sir." And then give it to him. I never did, but maybe I'll just go back to the corn dog stand just to get a job there just
brush
to do
up.
That, because I'll be fired right away.
Chris, now the last time you were on here, you were plugging a Clockwork Apple, and you got a little bit of guff from a mutual friend of ours.
Yes, Tyler Wilson, of course. Well, yes. It's just because he was a bad plug.
But explain the whole thing for everybody listening.
Well, you know, you told me to explain a Clockwork Apple.
Yes.
And, I started explaining almost the history of how it came to be rather than the book itself. And then when time came to talk about the book, like, I didn't think I had enough time. So I was like, yeah, so it's, you know, it's a book with some tricks. It's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, what am I going to buy? Oh, how about this book with some pretty cool tricks that this guy talked about?
Yeah.
Maybe I should buy that, you know. That's not going to sell. So,
Mr. Wilson heard it and started breaking balls.
Yeah. Well, it was more of constructive criticism. And then he called me names after and punched me in the face. it was some good advice. But yeah.
Let's try and avoid a punch in the face. And and tell me, Clockwork Apple, why people should buy it. Go.
Because this book has some great magic, and I don't like to toot my own horn, but you know what? I really do believe that it's got some really good stuff in it. One of the biggest things in it is the holes concept, which is something I came up with years ago, but it has been fooling magicians everywhere. At Magic Live, actually, Gregory Wilson and Paul Harris both really loved the idea, and you know, they gave me some great tips and advice on routines with it. But you know, everybody that I show it to, you know, their jaws just drop and they don't know what the heck just happened. So really check out the holes concept that's in the book. And that's just like only one thing in the book. There's also some moves in it. One of my biggest ones is Lazy Rise, which is basically the lazy man's version of Ray Cosby's Ray's Rise. For those of you that don't know about Ray Cosby's Ray's Rise, it is one of the most difficult moves in card magic, but it is also one of the nicest looking and most useful moves if you can master it. You can do tons of stuff with it. And so the move that I've come up with, which is called Lazy Rise, it's still, I'm not going to say it's easy, it's still going to require some practice. But let's just say you can probably master it within a good week or two if you do practice it a lot. And the book will teach you a lot of good tips on how to get it going. But the move, you can use it for the ending of an ambitious rise, ambitious card effect, or even just switches. There's tons of switches that you can do with it. I teach a couple in the Vanishing Ink download, which you can find at vanishingink.com, vanishingmagic.com, and there's just a bunch. It's just a good utility move. And there's also a couple other utility moves in there. There's cards exchange or cards sex change, whichever way you want to say it, because it goes both ways, people. It does, and that there's a lot of controversy over that with whether people thought it was a cards exchange or cards sex change. People actually got in arguments on forums over what it was.
Nice.
But it's a neat color change, and you can also use it for other things, I think, other than color changes.
Chris?
And there's also like routines, a bunch of other routines that don't use gimmicks and whatnot in there as well that I think people will really enjoy. Yeah.
Well, you know what I want to call that one?
What?
A damn fine plug. A damn fine plug for a damn fine book. Clockwork Apple, you can find it at VanishingInkMagic.com. That is like VanishingIncorporated.com.
Yes.
Not the INK. Come on, people. I'm trying to be clever. All right, we have emails, my friend. Emails have come in. Last week we were talking about magic boxers, and Philip wrote in. Yeah, because apparently there's a lot of boxers that are really, really into magic. And all I can think of last week was Muhammad Ali, because Floyd Mayweather is apparently a big magic fan. He's probably the best pound-for-pound boxer in the sport right now. But Philip wrote in to correct me on one that I was kicking myself when I got this email. Hi, Justin. I just heard your last podcast. You brought up the question, is there a connection between boxers and magicians? I have another very, very good example for you. The Klitschko brothers. I guess they're not so famous in the States, but here they're very popular. They're also very big magic fans and perform themselves. Here's a link I found to Vladimir on German television. We'll put this up, the the link or this YouTube embed up with the podcast. I also remember another occasion where they both performed The Floating Table. Thank you very, very much for writing in, Philip. And how could I forget the Klitschko brothers? Of course, Vitaly and Vladimir Klitschko, who they're Ukrainian heavyweight powerhouses. And we had a picture of, I believe it was Vitaly, with our own friend Eric DeCamps when he was at Phantasma Magic. They stopped in. He was looking for magic. And the picture's great because Vitaly's as excited to meet Eric as Eric is to meet Vitaly. So it's a very, very cool thing. Anyhow, Klitschko brothers. But we still haven't found out, Chris, why there is this connection, magic and boxing. It's this weird sort of thing.
That's a very weird comparison. I would have never thought of it before.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like it's a concentration thing or a hand speed thing. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But
well,
it's there.
I know in my
it's
magic,
undeniable.
I like to punch people in the face.
Obviously, as we've gone over, yeah. There's there was a punch from Tyler to you. You like to punch random strangers in the face and eat their elephant ears.
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of things going on.
Good boxing.
Of course, folks, show@itricks.com is where you can email stuff into us. And we appreciate it. Every time that somebody sends in an email to me, I just smile. I smile from ear to ear because I do enjoy it. Anyhow, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, according to a new study by Edinburgh University, it is our stubborn belief that we have a constant and uninterrupted stream of vision which allows sleight of hand to be so effective. Experts at the university say that spectators lose their sight for a few milliseconds when their eyes make tiny shifts in focus, which are too short for us to notice, but long enough to miss changes in visual scenes. They carried out some experiments in which people looking at pictures often failed to detect deliberate alterations, such as objects becoming bigger or disappearing. Chris, this sounds plausible, right? I mean, is there any way that as a sleight of hand artist, you can greater, change your technique to take advantage of something like this? Or are we already kind of doing it?
Yeah, pretty much what they're just talking about is misdirection. Because there's tons of sleights that can be burned and whatnot. But when you add misdirection into the sleight, then it just makes it that much more deceptive, right? Because then not only can people watch your hands as you do the sleight, but you add the misdirection, and now there's absolutely no way that they can catch you doing the sleight. So I think they've kind of just come up with a hypothesis on how misdirection works rather than the sleight itself, I'd say. A good example would be Darren Brown, because we were talking about Darren Brown before. He had a great special on mental blindness. Do you know what mental blindness is?
I kind of, but please explain it to me.
Basically, it's when someone concentrates on something so much, they basically lose sight of everything else. And so if something happens while they're concentrating on something, they don't notice. So what Darren Brown did, which was just hilarious, is basically he went up to people on the London streets and held a map up, and he'd ask them, hey, could you please show me how to get to this church here? You know, and the person would look on the map and start trying to show them, and then he'd have some people moving a painting kind of come in between them, and as they did that, he'd switch with someone else. So it'd be a completely different person trying to show them or talking to them, and the people wouldn't notice that he became some other person while they're trying to show him the directions. And at first, he does it with someone that looks similar to him, but then he takes it to the nth degree. He switches with an old Asian woman, an Asian woman, and the person doesn't notice that he changed into someone else, which is just hilarious. And then at the end of the episode, he changes with a tall black guy.
Nice.
Which was just hilarious. And he's like, oh, yes, could you please show me where to go? And then all of a sudden he changes like, oh, yeah, right over there, man. Okay. It's just, it's awesome.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Can we just one more time hear the voices?
The what?
Can we just hear the voices one more time? What happened? Explain it to us again.
Darren Brown's like, ah, yes, could you please show me? That's not even a... English accent. That's
Roll
like
with
Irish.
it. Roll with it. I'm dying here.
Like, ah, oh yes. Could you please show me where the church is, mate? And then, you know, he switches and he's like, oh yeah, man. Okay, that's pretty good. Tell you what.
That's almost so wrong. It's racist. That's so funny. All right. Well, there we go, folks. That's the reason why you guys
can
make a living.
I have a black stepfather, so it's fine.
All right. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
All right, folks. That about wraps it up for this episode of the Magic Week in Review. If you would like to send in your feedback on Chris Mayhew's stunning, stunning racist rant, you can send it to show@itricks.com. Again, show@itricks.com. But please, we want to support our friend Chris May, whom we kid with, only because we love. Buy the Clockwork Apple book at vanishinginkmagic.com. That is ink as in incorporated, not the substance that you scribble on paper. And also, you're doing a lecture in Edmonton, right?
Yes, actually tomorrow, Tuesday, October 6th, I'll be doing my first official lecture in Edmonton. I did have a lecture a year ago with the Vanishing Rabbit Magic Shop, but it was just kind of like a volunteer lecture type thing. But this is like my first official lecture in the Chris Mayhew repertoire. So yeah, if you're in the area, I'd recommend checking it out. I actually invited everybody on my Facebook that I knew was a magician to the event, and probably be about, I'd say 80% declined because they all live in different cities.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, well, that doesn't look too good. I got this event and nobody's coming. I actually declined it myself. You look on the event, it says people not attending, and I'm on there as well. So I won't be there either.
All right.
So it should be interesting without me.
Yes, it certainly should. Well, support Chris if you're listening to this tonight on Monday. But until next week, folks, show@itricks.com. Again, show@itricks.com. Follow iTricks on Twitter at iTricks. And this Thursday, we have Ozzy Wind on the clinic. This Wednesday, I can't remember who we have on iTricks Live, but a full slate of entertainment for you, as always, on the site. But until next week. I'm Justin Robert Young. That is Justin R. Young on Twitter, imploring you, bang a gong.
iTricks.com.